So, to be honest, I think that the topic of Yichud really does dovetail the topic we did yesterday, right? Because I actually split business up. When I do my business shiurim in Leiva Torah, I actually split the business shiurim up into different categories. And one of the main categories is that obviously there's Choshen Mishpat. We discussed it yesterday. Yeah, you could have the thing that I stole thing. We split it up into two categories. Category number one is business. We did yesterday. Kenevas Das, Mekachomemkar, all this stuff. And then I actually almost divided, which sounds crazy, into what we did 2 weeks ago, casual touching in the business world, and Yichud, because I think that they're two distinct and equally important. There is the business challenge of business halacha choshen mishpat, and then there's a challenge equally of the opposite sex. And I'm telling you this is the only reason why, excuse me for being very, very inappropriate, but why I think me giving the shiur is better than Rav Ben. I would never normally say that, but I have a lot more experience in this area, Baruch Hashem, than Rav Ben does. And therefore, I can explain to you that this is not just, sometimes somebody comes up and they say, you really should take the COVID vaccine. You really should take the vaccine. If a guy comes up and said, I was in the hospital for 16 weeks with COVID, like, take the vaccine. Okay. I've had the challenges of Yichud. I've had the awkward situation of telling a girl, please keep the door open. So why? It's not Yichud, by the way, because anybody, we'll see. I don't care. So I think that for that only, I think it's important to listen to this year. So we're going to, you guys did the Mara Makomos. We're not going to be, I don't want to be my iron and go crazy over. I think the Shailos HaTshuvos are the most important. But let's begin, because I think that it's important. So we saw the different Gemaras. So the first reason why I showed you different Gemaras, and there was actually another few, is for the following reasons. I think that it's important to understand what is this Isser. And at any time, Chas V'Sholem, we shouldn't think that, it's only an Isser Derabanan. It's only an Isser Derabanan, so it's okay. No, Chas V'Sholem. But once it's an Isser Derabanan, we can be more makel, and that's very, very important. So let's look at the first Gemara. So basically, the Gemaras are the same. The Gemara says, source number one, Kedushin Daf Pei. Let's just skip to Rabbi Yochanan. Remez L'Yichud Min HaTorah Minayim. Shenemar, he quoted this pasuk, which you all, Baruch Hashem, pointed out. And the Gemara says the pasuk is from our parsha. That's obviously why Rabben wanted us to do Yichud this week, because it's related to our parsha. And all the Gemaras quotes the same pasuk. New Rabbi say, what's the pasuk talking about? Anybody looked into the pasuk? Yeah, it's talking about Avodah Zarah. It happens to be talking about Yichud of Avodah Zarah. Because the way of Avodah Zarah was when somebody wanted to convince somebody else to do Avodah Zarah, they were scared of capital punishment if they would get caught. So they'd be miyached a family into a private room or a few people, and they would say, I'll tell you, the Avodah Zarah is so good, it's amazing. So, we all questioned this, and we all said, well, why is it quoting this Kazakh? What's the Remez? So first of all, Remez is not Minat Torah. Shenamar, we quoted the Pasuk. So it hints to it. And the second Gemara as well. So the first thing we just have to point out, I'm sorry I should have started with this, is what is Yichud? What's the definition of Yichud? So of course the Mishnah tells us, Lo Yachid Adam Im Shtei Nashim. You're not allowed to be alone with two girls. Aval Isha Achas Miyachid Im Shtei Nashim. Let's stop right there. Stop there. What is the difference between this Mishnah? Why does it say two girls can't be alone with a man, two men can be alone with a woman? What's the logic there? Yeah?
The man's likely not to do something when his friend's watching
him. Very interesting. Why not?
I don't know, he doesn't want to be judged, maybe. Peer pressure.
Need a little bit more. What do you think? Let's take it the opposite way. And two girls, you're telling me two girls are not going to...
They're not the smartest people.
Okay, very nice. Thank you, Wayutari. Will not mention your name.
That's what the Gemara says.
Right, very good. So the Gemara says a common misunderstood concept of, tiflus, right? It's not that. We'll see what it means. It doesn't mean that, they're not educated, and that's why. Yeah?
Didn't I actually say
Excellent. 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 That's using good logic. So the issue, Nebuch, is the following. The issue is like this. When two women are alone, so the girl is actually, there is a busha. She doesn't want to say anything. What's she going to do? She's going to tell people about this? It's embarrassing to her that this woman did this. I'm sorry to say this, Rabbi Isai. I actually know of a situation of a woman who unfortunately was not faithful to her husband. And they said, well, how did this happen? Apparently, Nebuch, every Sunday she would go off with another man. It's crazy. Her sister, she would pretend like she was going to her sister's house. And the sister felt bad, so she stuck up for her. And she lied. Excuse me now for being, I'm not trying to be funny, but this is, I think, what the Gemara, the Mishnah is saying. But when it came to the woman, guess what? When it comes to two men, the other man, this is on social media already. He's got all the pictures. Something goes, I can't believe this. This guy, right? He's got no busha. Now, the truth is, this is not 100% correct. Because modern day poskim do not love this Mishnah. And they say we have to be extra machmir. We have to be extra machmir. It seems to be that many poskim, like the Birkei Yosef or Moshe Feinstein, said that the accepted position is 3 against 3. There should be 3 men and 3 women. That's considered to be something that's not considered to be yuchad. Very interesting. We are makel, generally like the Gemara, in situations of great need. But I have to keep in mind something that often people forget. It has to be kosher edim. Kosher edim. What does kosher edim mean? It can't be some guy who's not from. That's not considered a kosher aid. Aid, I'm not saying aid, a real aid. But it has to be two people who we reasonably believe will not cover for his friend. That's there has to be real. And we're going to get to that point when we discuss the different heterim. So that's a very, very important point in the Mishnah. What exactly we go with? What's considered to be yichud? You guys asked this question. What's considered to be yichud? Here, it seems to say, the Gemara seems to say, yeah. Sorry.
Just sure. So guys hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying you go on a double date, you're 2 on 2, in private.
Clearly, according to the Mishnah, no. But if you're Mayache, that would consider to be yichud. And Mamish, you know, I don't want to get to where in a base medrash, but we can understand why. What are they going to care? This is going to be a Yisoy. Yeah. No, so that's going to be different because once you're married, we generally hold that your wife is always good to be considered to be no yichud. Somebody asked a good question. If the wife's in the house, we talk about bala b'ir, but in the house itself, we consider it to not to be yichud. We question, what if she's sleeping? Farkas had a good question. She doesn't have das when she's sleeping, so maybe we'll discuss that. I think we'll get to it. But here, we always consider if it's with your wife, so that's never considered to be yichud. But in a situation of a double date, which I think is a very, could be a common shiloh. Again, it's not, we're not talking about in a restaurant, in a public place. But let's say they go, this is a very common here. Let's say they want to, two people are dating, and now they go, they want to go somewhere. So, whatever. They go to the mountains or something. They go, and they have a nice picnic together. There's no yichud there. No, that's actually yichud. Again, according to Rabbi Willig, and in many, many poskim say, no, that's not good enough. Right? And in all these halachas, Rabbi Isai, Chachov Eino Barosha. Even if he says to himself, well, technically it's not the law. I don't want to jump to the point, but it's important to say. Let's take this room. This room is like a typical non-Yichud room. There's so many windows here. There are 2 places for people to come in. However, if you don't mind, if you see where Rabben is sitting right now, so if he's sitting there now, and Chas V'Shalom, but there's a girl on the other side, right, and nobody else is here, I'm not so sure that's not yichud. Why? Nobody. What do they see? His head? The top of his head? And this is actually the post can discuss about how the window has to look. We'll get to Pesach Pesach Rabbah. Okay, we could argue because there are people coming in and coming out of the kolel, which Baruch Hashem, you have a very open door policy, so that probably wouldn't be. But it is a very interesting, important nekuda that even when it comes to, you know, especially boyfriend and girlfriend, we have to be very careful of the heterim here. And Rav Moshe, as you guys probably saw in the tshuva, Rav Moshe went crazy, which is amazing, a boyfriend and girlfriend, car travel. Which seems to be, what do you mean? That's not yichud, it's public. He's in a car, he's on Route 17. Why was he so? I think it's obvious, because he felt that there's going to be a potential huge problem here. Huge problem here. But Rav Moshe's problem was different, as we'll learn, because you're going to go off the highway. You're going to veer off. Okay, so let's continue. So, just one important point. What is the shear of Yichud? Let's assume it is Yichud. So what is Yichud? A famous question that the place can discuss. I don't know why it's such a discussion, to be honest with you, about elevators. Right? All of a sudden you get on the elevator and a girl walks in. You're like, oh no. So you have to now figure out, well, I'm going to the 12th floor and she's going to the 14th floor. How many seconds is it? Right? So what's the shear of Yichud? So there's no Gemara that discusses this. No, it doesn't discuss, but just as what does discuss, the Gemara in Sota and Daf Dalet, what's the shear of a Sota being held accountable? So it says it's the time that it takes to roast an egg and eat it. The Poskim have between 30 seconds and 3 minutes. This is not the same as the shear of Yichud when a husband and wife get married. Just so we put everything in perspective. When a chassan and kala get married in accordance with the Ashkenazic tradition, not the Sephardic tradition. The Sephardic tradition is they go under the talus, which I don't know why became many Israeli weddings that became a minhag to do. I don't know why. I don't know. From the Soloveitchik family, it's like, you have your minhag, you have your minhag. Don't start doing new minhag. What are you doing? Do new minhagim now. So, it's like when we got married, my wife said, I want the new minhag of the family is, I want a light in accordance with the amount of children we have. A very, very popular minhag, right? Probably all your mothers probably do this. So I said, it's funny that you say that. There's a tshuva in the Tzitz Eliezer. I was discussed this. There's normally a custom. I don't know if this is a real custom, but usually the mother-in-law buys candlesticks for her future kala. So now you're going to tell her, you can't buy me 2 candlesticks, even though that's your family minhag. I want to be machmir, and I want to have per my kid. I want a light. It's a beautiful thing. By the way, very weird what this minhag is based on. Anybody know? Why do we do this? It's a beautiful thing. So we could do a little drush and say, because Talmid de Chachamim, and therefore that, somebody who's a mahadir with a nair is going to have Talmid de Chachamim, so for each child we want to have a nair. Very, very nice. Good. So I thought that maybe it's like this. There's a tshuva that writes that when a baby is born, what used to happen is that they didn't have hospitals like we have now. During COVID, Nebuch, they say that when a woman had a baby, they wanted her out before 24 hours even, like in Eretz Yisrael. Like, just get out. In America, I remember when my wife had a baby in Englewood Hospital. I had to make sure she was there for 3 days, and I knew that I had to get there by 3 o'clock. Why? 3 o'clock, a woman would walk around with a snack cart with all the chocolates and everything. You could take whatever you wanted. And I was like, excuse me, am I allowed to take 2? She goes, of course, you're the father of the baby. And I'm like, okay, and open up a bag. And come on. Yeah. Right? I thought I was in the, in Farkas's colo. And, these kids come in. They're like, I brought a bag. Is that okay? Like, what? I had my snacks. So he's like, the canteen, this guy's kid's canteen bill. He's still $150 on it. He's like, well, I go to Farkas's canteen. It's fine. So, the halacha says that she's in the hospital, and now mistama, she's in such pain, so Friday night she's not going to be able to light. She's not going to be able to light candles. What's the halacha say? The halacha says, if you forget to light 1 week, you have a kanas, very strange halacha. The kanas is you have to light an extra candle for the rest of your life. I've heard the Shiloh a few times. Every time I've heard it, they got out of it some way. Right? Somebody was about to light candles, literally. She was about to light candles, and the baby started crying. The baby's diaper had to be changed. Unfortunately, it took a long time, and she came down, and she looks, and she's ski already. So I don't think that's she's putter, because she was always sick of the mitzvah, taking care of our child, whatever. Anyway, so back to our story. So I thought it was based on that. So I forgot who it was. One of the Tshuva Sefers says, the Mishnah Halacha says that Rav Menashe Klein says, oh, that explains the whole story over here. She wasn't allowed to light, because she couldn't get out of bed, because she just had a baby. And therefore, the kanas, every time you have a baby, your kanas is you have to light an extra thing. It's a beautiful thing, but what's the problem with that? It's not a kanas. If a woman can't get out of bed, it doesn't make so much sense. Anyway, we discuss this because of minhagim. So you want to say that this is my minhag, it's very nice. But we have yichud by Ashkenazim. What's yichud by Ashkenazim? Is that you actually go into the yichud room. We want to complete the whole process there. So they have to be miyachid a shir enough kedei bia. So as we know, what happens, you have the 2 eidim that come, and they sit outside, and they make sure nobody comes in. This is very important, Rabbi Yisrael, and this is important for our discussion, because it has to be halachically yichud. And therefore, I've only been Masada Kedushin once in my life, and that one time, I had a big problem. Because I got there, I didn't look at the place before. It was the Hilton in Staten Island. And I go right to the caterer. I go, excuse me, you know, where's the yichud room? So the father of the chassan, my uncle, says, oh, don't worry. I know you're going to say it's not good. It was the conference room of the Hilton. It literally was an oval, right? An oval, all of glass. I'm like, wow, this is mamish. Like, well, are you nuts? They go, no, we're going to drape it. We're going to drape the whole thing. So I said, I felt that wasn't a good idea. There's always going to be holes within the drape. So they go, oh, we could do it here. And the room next to it was like a small little ballroom. They open the doors and they go, wow, it's a huge room, but that's perfect. That's perfect. Right? It was a walls and walls. That's perfect. Anytime you have a yichud, this comes up a lot because a lot of these places are in an Italian wedding hall, and there are windows all over the yichud room, right? So you have to be very careful that it has to be a real yichud room. What's the amount of time that you should be in the yichud room for? This is a big shaila. Rav Salvechik, interestingly enough, was the most that I am aware of, was very machmir to 8 minutes. Usually the chazan and kallah stay in there for like 25, why couldn't they take pictures before? Because they're in the yichud room for 25 minutes. But that's not halacha. At least 8 minutes, he says. The Minchas Yitzchak said, Dayan Weiss said only 5 minutes. Rav Nosson Gesetner, one of the great poskim from Bnei Brak, said only 3 minutes you have to do. We're generally machmer, we keep them in there at least, a lot of people just say, just keep them there for 10 minutes, it's fine. Right? And the two guards stand outside to make sure it's the opposite. However, somebody brought this up, so I'm just going to bring it up as well. There is an interesting halacha when it comes to the halachas of chuppas nida. We mentioned this; it's alluded to in the Gemara. You could have a situation where you have a nebucha woman. My wife is a kala teacher. This is discussed. The most important thing about the wedding date is not what the parents want in the hall and this and that. It's to make sure that the girl is not going to be a nida on the day. And this is generally could be done through medical science. You can go onto a birth control pill just to regulate her cycle. Because many times it's not going to be in accordance, but it really should be. It's very important that the parents, they understand this. And they do everything else. Sometimes nebuch lo aleinu, it doesn't work out. And now it could turn out to a situation where she's an nida. She started bleeding. So what do we do? So there's not much you can do, right? It's not COVID where I've heard this. In COVID, this was a huge problem. Because in COVID, as you guys know, you had situations in Eretz Israel especially that all of a sudden they say, okay, now you can have a wedding. And the kala's like, great. Except I'm a chuppas nida, it's called. I'm a nida. How do you plan these things? It's very, very difficult. You can get married, halachically. What do you do, though? So now we have a problem with the yichud room, because it's the opposite of what I just said. We actually want windows in there. We want people to be able to look. So usually the only person that knows about this is the rabbi. The edim don't even know about this. And he sneaks a kid into the closet or something, and, a kid that's old enough. And he says, the rabbi's like, oh, I'm the rabbi, I'm going to inspect the room. Because normally we ask the yichud, they ask him to inspect the room. So he inspects the room, and he winks, and everybody knows what's going on. The chassan kala and the rabbi, and that's it. And that's it. Or they do it in such a way where, again, as I said, they make sure to open a window, whatever it might be. Then that night, they're not allowed to be miyachet. They can't be alone with each other. It's a very, very strange situation. We assume, though, after that point, right, generally, even on the first night, she'll become a nida again. And certainly when your wife's a nida, so we don't say that there's no iser of yichud. Because at that point, we think that there's a person's able to control himself. So back to the story. So we saw these different Gemaras, and both of them have a remez, except of course, interestingly enough, the Gemara in source number 3 says, the Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav, Yichud Dover, Tabas Yisrael, Doraisu. And he says, oh no, it's not, it's remez, Minat Torah, Minayim. So the Rambam picked up on this, and as you saw the Rambam picks up on this, and the Rambam says, wait a minute, what's going on here? The Isra Yichud is Harayas Mipnei Kabbalah. It's very important to understand what does the Rambam mean when he says Divrei Kabbalah. What does he mean? Why didn't he say midurabana, midaraisa? Why did he use the words midivrei kabbalah? Anybody know? What does divrei kabbalah mean? So the Rambam is notorious for using divrei kabbalah. So sometimes he uses this, as we know the words are called asmachta ba'alma, right? 2 weeks ago we did our non-recorded shiur on the on kolisha. So we quoted the pasuk from Shir Hashirim, call Arev, right? That's from Shir HaShirim. So you're going to tell me Kol Isha is Daraisa? It's Asmachta Baum. So sometimes the Rambam saw exactly the problem that many of you had. Yeah, it's wonderful that the pasuk is from our parsha, but it's not really talking about Yichud that as we know it. And therefore he says Divrei Kabbalah. But comes along the Rambam and says, wait, Divrei Kabbalah is actually on a higher level than a Derabbanan. Why is this all important? Because we have to follow the rules, we have to follow rules. It's very important. Because the heterim that we're going to discuss most of our shiur now are based on the fact that we're making the assumption, not like some Rishonim who hold that it's Daraisa, we're going to assume that it's only Midurabanan, or even Midurei Kabbalah, and therefore, once it's the rabbis decide, so then we could have kulas. You can't have kula if you really think something's a Daraisa, unless you believe that that was a built-in kula to that. But Midurabanan, you could have that. Yeah. That's the question. So we could just say that she does not accept it, but the pasuk that's quoted doesn't make any sense. Because it's not a direct pasuk. And there is no direct pasuk. It's not like there was a pasuk out there. Even from Sota, where are you going to find the pasuk? So yes, it creates a problem. Yes, it's true. You have people like the Prisha, commentator in the Shulchan Aruch, Chazon Ish, who says, no, Yichud's an Isser Min HaTorah. It's an Isser Min HaTorah, you're right. And therefore we have to be Machmir. And therefore the Hetayim that we're going to start quoting says, those aren't, we'll see that you guys saw the machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos over there. So you have to see. All agrees, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav, that this is so strong because David HaMelech, as we know, added halachos, like Netilas Yadayim. So he realized that he had to add Yichud. He added Yichud. He actually added Yichud with Jew and Jew. And Jew and non-Jew was added later by Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel's time. But that's an important part. So the Rambam seems to tell us that this is only midurabanan. Let's call it a high level durabanan, and then we can start the discussion of all discussions of what heterim are there, and then we're going to start to get into the cholent of the matter of all the practical applications of this. So let's look at that. So that's important to look at our Gemara on source number 3. Absolutely.
We're assuming everything's mipi kabbalah through the Rambam, but Pani and Apnuya, after if she went to mikvah, she wasn't Danida. That's what David HaMelech was goes around, and then Beis Shammai said, "We'll go around all the guys."
Exactly.
So the only case of David HaMelech was Pani and Apnuya when she is not Danida.
Right. So understand, I mentioned thank you for back in the olden days when we had a Beis HaMikdash, women always had to go to the mikvah because of Tumah v'Tahara. So a single girl, Pnuya, a single girl would actually go to the mikveh because of Tyre and Tumah. Nebuch, this was something that they wanted to be reinstituted on the west side of Manhattan. Maybe it is reinstituted. It's not a joke. It's very sad. Where women go to the mikveh, there's a big problem with the mikveh there. They wanted to oster women from coming that were single. They thought to themselves, even though they might be having relations, but they want to do it, at least they're not an Ida. Mamash, a terrible thing. Rav Avad Yosef actually has a tshuva on this. And he shries chai v'kayim. How can we allow this? We can't allow this. Don't take halacha hostage that we're going to allow this. But back in the olden days, the isser there was that they were quote unquote, you would think it's not yichud, because technically if he had relations with her, so there wouldn't be the isser yichud. You have other complications you would have to discuss at that point. So that's correct. Nowadays it doesn't matter because the assumption is that all single girls are nidas. And obviously, boil an isha that's a nida is an isha deraisa. So that puts yichud somewhere in the middle of yeah, it's harchaka for not having relations. It's like what we discussed about casual touching, right? We said the Rama who was the most strict because the Rama says no, it's going to lead to something. So the Rama was so scared. I feel etzba b'katana shel isha. If you're doing it for here her reasons, you're looking at it. Of course I could leave to Bia. So there would be a chashash of a daraisa. So the Gemara tells us in Kedushin Daf Pei Aleph, source number 5, here are the hetera. Ba'alo be'ir. Ba'alo be'ir ain choshishim b'shum yichud. Let's just discuss we'll discuss them separately. V'amar Rav Yosef, Pesach b'such l'rishos sarabim. Let's just call it an open door. L'rishos harabim, to the public domain, ain't choshishim mishum yichud. So now we have to really take this onion and really, really figure out what's going on over here. So,
Baal HaBe'ir.
Baal HaBe'ir seems to be saying that the husband is in town. There's no chashash of what we defined as yichud. However, as you noted as well, Shani Rabibi, however, there's a thing that we call liba gaspo. Liba gaspo literally means, you know, the fat of the person is, he has a relationship with her. He knows her. This is a very hard definition, Rabbi said. Very, very hard definition. What does that mean? He has a relationship with her. What type of relationship are we talking about here? So the Orech HaShulchan and Sitz Eliezer say that this is a relationship. Any professional relationship, anything. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, interestingly, which is very, very strict, says if this is your doctor, the same doctor you see all the time, so you have a relationship with him, especially, so there could be an issue there. We're going to discuss the nitty-gritty of a doctor's office. This is, you know, a lot of these things, by the way, Baruch Hashem changed. One of the positive things of the Me Too movement is that everybody's a lot more careful now. I think I've spoken about how there are law firms who have adopted policies called the Yichud policy, where they've actually taken the laws of Yichud and said that all lawyers have to follow these policies now because of everybody accusing everybody else and Nebuch, these things, of course, really, really happening. So it seems like if the husband is in town. We saw an interesting machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, where Rashi says that it's a heter. It's only a heter. Lachalot b'mispatei baal hashta itha. Right? Sometimes I need this kula to play with because there's no way of getting around it. Right? We said there's a huge leak in the house, and the husband, like a good husband, says, okay, honey, I'm going to work. Bye. You take care of it. So now the plumber comes. What is she going to do now? She's going to leave the house? She doesn't want to leave the house with the plumber there. So Rashi would say, that's a good heter. Where Tosfos look over here. So Tosfos says, no. He doesn't agree with, he says, v'nir lefaresh ein choshishim klal mishim yichud. V'afilu sura leka. There's no answer over here. The rabbis in their infinite wisdom created heterim for yichud. Built in heterim. However, it's interesting. Both the Urcha Shulchan and the Chachmas Adam, which is Rav Danziger, both say that we hold like Rashi. We should not use this heter unless it's greatly needed. Rav Schechter said that he thinks that this is correct, and we should strive not to use the heter. We shouldn't hold like Tosfos over here. Yes, I know it's true. The Shulchan Aruch himself only quotes the sheet of Tosfos. He holds like Tosfos. That's true. But it does pay to be machmir in many situations. We have to define what Baal HaBe'ir is. We have to define what does Be'ir mean. Good, we're going to do that. We have to define what Liba Gaspo means. So let's spend a moment on Liba Gaspo. So, clearly, if they had a previous relationship, I gave the example, right? You're all of a sudden so from now, but you don't remember when you went to Missouri a few years ago. And you had a girlfriend. And that girlfriend is actually still in camp now. So now, you can't be miyachid with her. You say, no, but I'm in this room. This is not a, let's say we define this as not a yichud room. No, liba gaspo. What am I talking about? I just made a mistake what I said. I just used liba gaspo for Pesach Pesach Lush Rabbah. I'm not thinking. Or am I? That's the question. The Gemara here in source number 5, is he talking about both things or not? I wasn't so crazy. Baal HaBe'ir, we all agree, Liba Gaspo is what the Gemara is talking about. That means what? That if the plumber is coming, and it turns out I dated the plumber in high school, Baruch Hashem, I didn't marry him, because he's just a plumber, right? Unless it's Eretz Yisrael, and he's probably more rich than anybody here. But they have a preserved relationship, nothing to it. That's Liba Gaspo. Liba Gaspo. Question is, do we say this also by Pesach Pesach Rosh Hashanah? Interesting. Then we're like totally out of heters. That means a boyfriend and girlfriend can never be anywhere other than a very, very public place. Yeah? Yes, I think it wouldn't. I think we always cancel out. We always halachically would cancel out as long as your wife is there. I would agree that if it's a situation of your wife sleeping and her best friend, who happened to be your ex-girlfriend, is sleeping over, and now you're sitting and talking on the couch and you know your wife is sleeping, halachically, I don't think it's called liba gaspo, meaning I think because the wife is still there, I don't think we say that she has no das because she's sleeping now. I don't think we say that because she could wake up at any moment. Although we will see tshuvas where halachically we don't apply baal ba'ir. But I think it's a really, really stupid idea, right? And that's really what we have to in life establish gedarim. It's true that my office is not considered to be halachically a situation of yichud because the door is open and people come in and come out all the time. But it's a good chumra to have to always keep your door open when anybody's there. And I'm lo plug, just so it's not embarrassing for the woman. When men come in as well, I tell them, no, please don't close the door. No. If it's something really, really private, so let them close it halfway. But they can't accuse me of anything. The doorway people could see in. Okay, now I have a big window in front of my office. But I don't think it would apply in that case. I don't think so. So it is hard to define liba gaspo, I think. Because nowadays, there was a shul in a certain community where they were very upset that... apparently husband and wives, other husbands and other wives, were texting each other. And it led to really bad things. And the rabbi got up on Shabbos and he said, we're done. The Haredi world knows what they're talking about. I happen to agree with this wholeheartedly. Somebody who's admittingly addicted to my phone. I think it's the most amazing thing that Hasidim have flip phones. I have this amazing mashkiach from Satmar. So he has an old flip phone. But he has this really cool, he made himself a headset out of a hanger. So they don't make headsets for that. But it's an amazing thing. I look at it and I say, wow, this is a model for me. Right? No text, no nothing. Baruch Hashem, you still can get in touch with the world. You know, it's fine. The problem is that women, right, you start texting, right? It could lead to horrible, horrible things. Texting is something very uninhibited. You're not in front of the person. You can say whatever you want. It's a very, very scary rabbi said. And I think my wife knows this. Somebody, totally not, whatever, she asked me to speak, unfortunately, tonight in Dresh at Mesorah. So she says, I'll text you, just text my wife. Text my wife, and you'll get the information through her. I'm crazy, I'm chumra, right? It's okay. You could think I'm crazy, I don't really care. It's not a good idea. Right? There's an emergency at the text, I'm not saying the time. So that's my question. I don't have a good answer to this question. I didn't ask a posik this. I mean, I know the answer. The answer is halachically, I'm no. But you start a text relationship with someone. Now I'm talking about you text the plumber to say, can you come at this hour? And he says, sure, no problem. I'll be there in 15 minutes. That's not a liba gaspo situation. You have a relationship. You start talking to them. Oh, it's here for Shabbos. And I think there's an issur yichud in that situation. You start talking about how delicious Shabbos food. You make the greatest food. What are we afraid of here? We're afraid of the situation where within a few minutes, something's going to happen. Now, the question is, you guys saw this in the Ohel Yeshur and a Felder Sefer, what about Ishto Ba'ir? Do we say that? So somebody explain to me the logic, why shouldn't we assume this? Why would there be a Ishto Ba'ir? Why would there be, Baal Ba'ir and not Ishto Ba'ir? What's the difference in the two? What do you think, guys? Yeah. Oh, right. Very good. Very good. The key here, and this is the key in all the shilas you're going to ask, is one idea. Two words. Fear factor. There needs to be a fear factor that I know I can get caught. And I'm scared about that. Women generally, Baruch Hashem, because they have bina and das, and they understand the repercussions of what could happen. Men do not. They do not. And therefore, if Moshe writes here, it's quoted in the name of Moshe in the Ohel Yeshurim, that one cannot remain alone with a woman if his wife is not present, even if she's ba'ir. Unless she's close by, right? A few minutes, she goes out to get sugar from across the street, so there we're not worried. The Imre Yosher of Meir Arik, the great Meir Arik, says that there's no such thing as Ishto Ba'ir Bechlau. He would even be, Rav Moshe is a little bit more Mako. He says, there's no such thing at all. Interesting. Shulchan Aruch alludes to the fact that maybe there is such thing as Ishto Ba'ir. But it's exactly what you said. We're nervous that, how are we going to get around this? He's not going to be in bed. He's going to say, oh, I know my wife is 15 minutes away. Okay, so I have 10 minutes. I don't think she's going to... The wife is scared. But if she's not scared because of Liba Gospel, so then we're going to say that there's no heter. So, let's move on. Any questions until this point? We're going to get to the shilas, the nitty-gritty shilas. Yeah, sorry.
What's the difference if the wife is close by or not? If the whole thing is differentiation, the chilek we made between the man and the woman is fear factor. Saying if she's 10 minutes away, if she's an hour away.
No, so I think Rav Moshe is saying about really close by. She's 5 minutes away. So I'm not going to start for 5 minutes. I'm not going to start something. She can come home right away. Right? It has to be very close by. And I say the sugar situation. Your wife's friend comes over and she says, oh, can I make you coffee? And she says, yeah, sure. She says, oh my God, we're out of sugar. I'm going across the street to get coffee. Oh, sugar. I'm not worried about that. Yeah.
Just clarifying, there's no Yichud in an elevator?
Yeah, I don't think so. First of all, Rav Moshe has a tshuva like this. You know, we talk about the Empire State Building. So it happens to be it's just faulty information. The Empire State Building does not have an elevator that goes from floor 1 to floor 100. You have to go to two different elevators. They also do not let two people go into the elevator because they have as many people as they can get in. But if that was the situation, I don't think we say 30 seconds. I don't think that's a fair thing. I think it would be at least 3 minutes. What elevator lasts more than 3 minutes?
What would you do if the elevator got stuck?
Oh, so the elevator got stuck. So it happens to be that most elevators today, from what I understand, at least the ones I've been on, they have cameras. So that we'll discuss cameras. Cameras is also a fear factor question. For kashrus, you know, this is a big question. It depends who it is. If it's the OU, cameras don't mean anything. Cameras are nothing. The question is there a fear factor there, the cameras there? I agree with you. But I don't think a person has to assume when he gets into the elevator, a woman walks in and he goes, oh no, sheiks, and run out of the elevator. Because maybe the elevator's going to break. He knows it's a quick ride. I don't think so. Yeah. You know, there's not in a, you know, I would say, yeah. I would say, if you're defining that Rostav's thing, I think, yeah. I think you said it very good, right? The same guy who would never think to look at pictures that are inappropriate is texting a girl inappropriately. Of course that's the answer. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
If a guy's going to be a repairman, we assume that they could be selling Chabad over here.
Yeah, I think you should be very careful not to have any relationships with any of these people. And there shouldn't be a relationship. I think then that would be a problem. If he's, you know, went to high school, not went to high school, but they had a relationship, right? They know each other. They talk. That's a little bit more problematic.
Often you have the same repairman as like the repairman for the family. So you have to be careful not to become too schmoozy with the...
Correct. That's correct. However, we'll see. What we didn't apply here yet is Pesach specifically with Shasarabim. So I would say that would be a double heter of saying that you have to be careful on both sides. Leave a door open or leave a door unlocked. We'll see exactly what the halachas are there. But that's a very, very important point of, again, how far do we go. So I think most poskim say that this Liba Gospel does not apply to Pesach specifically with Shasarabim, which is our next discussion now. What is Pesach Mizrach? So first of all, let's discuss what's Baal HaBe'ir. What's Ba'ir? Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva there, you see? So Rav Moshe talks about what's Baal HaBe'ir. So if the husband is in town, what's considered to be town? Right? What's considered to be town? So we saw, let's just look at Rav Moshe. Do we have, did I put it here? Yeah, sorry. Restrictions to husband in town. So Rav Moshe says, Chovesh Beit HaAsurim. That's a great example. Avshu Ba'ir Baro Shalonim. Right? So now you have the Nebuch, the husband's in prison, and she feels horrible for him. So she moves across the street, and she gets an apartment across the street. So, what do you do? She says, what do you mean, what do you do? It's not Shawshank Redemption. He's not getting out of jail, okay? Right? We don't think he's going to swim Alcatraz, you know? No. So Rav Moshe says it's Pashut, that's not considered to be Baal HaBe'ir. That's not Shayach. Shemadina zu New York. So now he discusses in New York. Kishabala hu ba'ir aval yadu'ala shahala kitzeh ha'ir. Right? Rav Willie gives the example from Riverdale to Staten Island. It takes like 6 years to get there, right? Right? My wife lived in Staten Island. So sometimes, Nebuch, we would have to, you know, I would go in the morning to the city. I would take this horrible bus, the X31, right? It's supposed to take 45 minutes. It would take at least an hour and 45 minutes. So now I'm in Staten Island in New York City. What are you, crazy? I'm going to come home to call my wife. Oh, I'll be home soon. She knows she's got an hour and 45 minutes. So Rav Moshe says, that's not Baal HaBe'ir. Smaller locations, it doesn't go by the city. So for example, Shlomo Zalman says, Ramat Gan and Tel Aviv. You know, Lawrence and Cedarhurst, they're right next to each other. Teaneck and Bergenfield, that's considered to be the same year. Mestama, that's the same year. Amos Abala, she says, I know my husband come home. Rav Moshe says another chiddush, which many have disagreed with. Well, it depends what the husband does for a living. If the husband is a regular worker, he's not, who's going to leave at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Not going to let the husband leave at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The wife knows that. So he says maybe for a salesman, you know, who's always traveling, could always come home. But if I know that my husband's in the city, and I know the best case scenario, it's an hour and a half for him to come home, I also know he's not coming home. He never comes home at 2 o'clock, unless he gets fired. So that's an interesting application, which I think does apply. Same thing, by the way, where he has a job, he's a doctor. He calls the wife and he says, honey, I'm about to do brain surgery. I'm not going to be, 6 hours, you're not going to be able to contact me. So you're really going to argue, my husband's not the greatest doctor. Maybe he'll kill the guy within the first few minutes, you know, and he'll come home right away. No, we don't assume that. We assume 6 hours, he's done. So Baal HaBe'ir, the question is, what is Ba'ir? I think it's very difficult to define Ba'ir. Right? And therefore, we're generally machmir, and we say, yeah, it doesn't have to be the name of the town has to be the same, but it has to be reasonably a small amount of time that the husband can pop in at any time. Oh, he's the type of husband that pops in at any time. I used to work we lived in Bergenfield, and I had an office in Teaneck, right? Literally less than 10 minutes away. But I used to come home all the time. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Or we know he's a person who, he's a salesman. The wife doesn't even know he's coming. We had a situation once, not Yichud situation, but similar, just to understand. We had a housekeeper who was watching one of my kids. My wife was a physical therapist. She went out. She would go to different people's houses and do what's called home care. And one of her home care got canceled. So she's like, I have an hour now. What am I going to do? I'll just go home. Right? She said, oh, and actually I could check on the housekeeper. She comes home. Nebuch, the baby's crying somewhere in another room. And the housekeeper's sitting up on the kitchen table with her feet up, eating. She made herself an egg. It was trafed up my whole kitchen. She made herself an egg. She made herself coffee. She heated up in the fleshik pot, hot milk, whatever the whole thing. Besides the fact she's not watching the kid, she violated everything that was in it. Why? Because in her mind, there was no Amos wife coming. She didn't think that my wife would ever come home. So that is a problem. If I really think, right, whatever, we'll discuss the whole kashas. I could do that another time. So I think that's the yisod over here, is that it has to be fear factor, that reasonably I believe the husband will come home. However, we can add to this the iser of, the heter of Pesach Pesur Chlushos HaRabim. This is an important heter that I wanted to define together. Pesach Pesur Chlushos HaRabim probably means, like we said, any open room where reasonably a person will be by a door, and a door that's unlocked. The Rashba says that even if the door is not locked, but we know generally there's an open door policy, which is not always the situation in most houses. I don't know, even where I live. It's true that on Shabbos, my house has an open door policy. People come in and come out. The kids are always, that's true, right? And kids don't knock. It's Israel. Nobody knocks. Nobody. You have that community, some communities. Most communities, it's not like that. And therefore, it's not good enough because usually a person is normal and they knock before, hi, anybody home? And then the two people that are miyachet said, oh good, we have time to not be yichud. So it's not so pasha. Pesach Pesul Rishos HaRabim. Obviously, if you're in a public area, obviously that would be heter. Or, we've had this situation, this is always the housekeeper situation, right? So you go in front of a window, but it has to be a window that people can actually see you. And you have to stay there. You can't move. Meaning if there's a window over here, so I can't go over here. There's no heter now. Nobody can see me now. And that's part of the issue. And that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein is worried about here. Rav Moshe writes, in the next tshuva, he says about, in source number three, oh, it says three, right, the newer sheet, source number three, so he's concerned with car travel. This is a huge, huge chumra of Rav Moshe. L'chachila v'adai ein lahatir. Av she'ikr nisiyato tiyeh al derech gedola. Even though right? The couple who's not married, who's not engaged, they're nothing yet, they're dating, whatever. Or they're engaged, doesn't matter, they're not married yet. So I'm nervous that even though they're on public highways and cars are passing, they see them in the window. The windows, it's not tinted windows. What am I afraid of? He says that a person can get off Efstra Lahasev Min Haderech Gedola, the Derech Etana. So I'm worried. Because I have a relationship, because it's interesting that Ramosha seems to apply maybe a Liba Gospel. Many, many do not agree with this psak. Many of the Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, Rav Jachter writes in his thing, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. But Rav Moshe is saying you cannot drive in a car alone with a girl, even if it's during the day. This has been asked for me probably a dozen times this summer. Can you take somebody home? Right? So I have a low plug. Because I don't take girls, I will never take a girl home. Ever. That's not my wife, I guess. But I would never take a girl home. People think I'm crazy. I remember this. She called my wife to tell on me. She called me. She's like, "Hi, Rabbi Hartstein, can you take my daughter?" I was like, "I'm sorry, I don't take girls home." She's like, "What?" She thought I was kidding. Because I'm a jokester, huh? To call my wife. My wife's like, "No, no, no, he doesn't take her." What is he? Is he a child molester? Why would he? No. No. Rabbi Moshe should be Mashmir. Eyes during the day. Eyes on Route 17. I don't care. Yeah.
Even the Chumrah of Ramosha, he writes, it seems, from what I understand,
yeah.
He's writing his Lechatchila, like you said.
Yeah.
He also writes that Shema Yatal Adera. So it sounds like if you are Yatal Adera, that's what I mean. His Xera is that you might go off on a side road. But if you are off on a side road, that's everybody.
All the poskim agree. Thank you. All the poskim agree. Correct. This is a big shaila here in camp. We have at least 35, 40 minutes, depends how fast you drive, to get onto Route 17. One could consider that at night. Those are definitely side roads. There are no cars there at all. That's right away, right when you come out of camp, usually.
If you're dating a girl from Muncie.
Yeah.
Question.
Where do you live? She went to Hask or we didn't go to Hask? Yeah.
You're dropping a girl from Muncie at night.
Yeah, it's interesting because if you look where Moshe ends, I bolded it. Gamishim Eva Yesh Lahatir. He says, you have certain situations. Ramosha was discussing something very strange, actually. It applies to where we are, you know, in the country. He said a guy, I don't know how this happened, a guy in Monticello puts her finger out there. She says, "Excuse me, I want a ride." So he says, you should give her a ride because she's going to go crazy that the Jews hate the Goyim. And then her husband, who's the tow truck driver, is not going to pick up the Jews. So that's what he writes. So maybe a Kal V'chomer says, girl, you can't, it's only for a few minutes. You get off the highway and it's 5 minutes in. It's hard to say. Again, I'm being honest, many poskim don't understand this revolution. I think he was a bit too machmir.
No, I'm saying when it's considered.
It's a side road. Yeah, even on that. That if it's a few minutes and the person's getting off, unless it's mamish 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I don't think you have a good heter for that then. They went to a wedding together and now it's the middle of the night. It's a problem. Yeah.
I was just gonna ask, even in a populated area, it's late at night, no one's standing.
Yeah, I mean the other thing Ramosha I think was I think concerned with as well. So who's looking in your car? You're going 70 miles an hour. People are looking in. People care. Again, if it's a fear factor, and this is why I'm not a big fan of the cameras. Rabbi Reisman writes in his Sefer that a camera can be used because come on, people are not going to do anything because they know. Rabbi Yosha says no. I don't think it's a machlekes really. I think it's metzias, right? So. I know there's a camera. So what? So the camera's going to see me doing something. And what? I'm going to get in trouble? That's not what they're looking for. They're looking for robbers. But yeah, it's fun for them to watch. If there's a real Ema, and this Kashrus companies believe, there's a restaurant by us that's under Rav Machbud. So there's no mashkiach there. So he makes the guy have a camera. The guy still told me, the meat bar. So he said to me, nuts. The guy was, I don't know if they have it anymore. He says, he calls me, he says, "I want to see the pita bread. I saw you took pita bread out. It doesn't look like it's kosher. Lift it up." Oh. He says he's always watching the camera. So he has a fear. Clearly he had a fear. He thought it was crazy, but he had a fear because it's calling him every 5 seconds. So I think that is the Ema. Yeah.
Euclid is
a problem. It's probably for Bia, but we don't want Nagia either. But Nagia leads to the Bia.
I mean, someone's driving a car.
Yeah.
So he has Euclid. He's continually driving. And,
yes. So we'll discuss that with the airplane child, but right to have no. So then that's where Moshe's veering off. Then you're going to veer off once something starts. So then you're going to veer off and do it. That's what I think. Yeah.
And he's why I do Zoom. Like, it's a very like normal thing for these families. I don't know if everyone knows, there's a thing called Life 360, which everyone's like voice tracked constantly.
Oh.
You see where they are. And you see
yeah, but that's that you're not. There's no Hector there. So I see that the boy and the girl are together. So what? I have no Ama. They know that I'm together. So what?
No,
I'm not watching you.
As in the same way that you can come in anytime, I can check yourself to see you're on.
Yeah, but so what? It's not. I don't have a chashash that you did anything together. You're miyachay together. Okay, so then I tie it to you. No, it's public. Don't worry about it. There were windows. I see you're in this building together. Yeah, what do you mean? There's a million people with me. You can't see that.
What about, like, the sheer Baal Biro? You can see where he's coming at the whole time.
That actually could create a worse situation. Because now you really can track and say, I know for sure he's not going to be home now. Right. I know what they're trying. And I just listen to 10-10 Winds, and it tells me there's an accident on the bridge. You know, like... I think so. I think it would be if he knows for sure. The husband told me he's in it. Just to give some hetering, because I don't know why. I apologize. It's taking a little bit longer than I thought. So, you have a situation sometimes where the husband. Yeah, I'll give you a scenario. Very funny story. When my daughter was born, so it was late at night, and my wife said, "I really want you to go home." My first child, I slept in the hospital. I have nothing to go home to. She goes, "No, I want my son. He should wake up. He shouldn't be crazy because my in-laws are there. So it's going to make him crazy, obviously." So she said, "No, go home." So now it's like, it was 12 o'clock at night, you know, 12 a.m. So I start to go home, and I didn't want to scare my mother-in-law. So I called her and I said, "You know, I'm on my way home." She's like, "Oh, that's no problem. Oh, just no." She's not for youthful reasons. She said, "Okay, great, no problem." She goes, "I'm a little lonely anyway. My husband went home." So it was going to be me, my mother-in-law, and my son, who was way too young. I'm like, oh, God. So what's the typical thing that you say? Are you kidding me? You could have my mother-in-law? Come on. What am I going to do? Now it's 12:15. I pick up the phone and call Rabbi Zaleski. I said, "I have a problem here. Do you?" So Rabbi Zaleski says, "No problem." He goes, "Come to my house." I go, "Rabbi, I'm not going to be home until like 12:40. He goes, "Come to my house." I come to the house. He says, "Give me the key to your house." He says, "But... listen very carefully. Do not set an alarm or anything. I'm coming to your house anytime I want to tonight. I'm really going to come to your house. I promise you, I really thought he was coming to the house." Some places can say you should give two people keys. You have to reasonably believe that somebody will come over. So when we used to have a cleaning lady, I think she was a Wednesday. So Wednesdays was my, everybody knew, Wednesdays, I spent the entire morning in the yeshiva. I didn't spend a break, I had nothing. I didn't want to be alone with her. When I had something to do or whatever, she came and I needed a half hour to do something, so I would call my neighbor and I would say to him, "Do me a favor." I have a neighbor that actually was great, because I would say to him, "Do me a favor, can you please come over?" He would always come over. He wouldn't knock on the door. He'd open the door. "Where are you, Hartstein? Come on, where are you? I knew it." That was his shtick. So he was like the greatest guy to call. But that's what you need. You need somebody, fear factor. I reasonably think somebody's going to come to my house. I once had with my nephew. I was staying by my sister, and I think on Friday she has a cleaning lady that comes. So I call my nephew, and I'm like, "Do me a favor. I know you're around. Please come into the house at any time." He goes, "Oh, no, I'm in YU. I'm not coming." I'm like, "Oh, great. That's it. I can't go into the house now." Yeah. So you have to be careful with that. 100%. Yeah.
Just to borrow another case along the lines of these cases is babysitting for your niece, babysitting for the neighbor.
Yeah. So babysitting is a very big problem. Babysitting can be a very, very big problem in terms of yichud. The way to get around it is that the parents tell the other parents and say, again, if the parents, normally they don't say this, normally they say, "We're going to be home in 2 to 3 hours. If we're going to be home in 6 hours, you know, that's a problem." So the only way to really get around it is to speak to, you know, I speak, my kid's doing the, and he speaks to my parents, I speak to the parents, I said to them, "Listen, can I please have the code or the keys, because I need to go visit him, so it's not yichud." If it's reasonable, if I know that he's a half hour away, or he took the car, and I'm not going there, so that's a big problem. It's not a big problem, it's yichud. There's no way to get around it. It doesn't matter, let's say, "Oh, they're sleeping, they're this or that." It doesn't matter, it could be yichud. Again, you can get around it as long as I would say that the heter of the Gemara is heter, as long as there was, you know, what do you call it, another boy that was in the house as well, then I don't think it would be yichud. I think it could be, and knowing that they can come home at any time, so probably be awkward. Let's just hold on the questions for a second. Let me just finish all the tshuvas, and then we'll do all the questions. We'll stop, and we'll do all the questions. What about a doctor's office, or if Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva as well? So we see here that the Tzitz Eliezer of Wollenberg wants to be Mekel because of something very, very simple. And that is, the Tzitz Eliezer in another place says, wait a minute, in this tshuva, he writes that the Isser could be, is Yorid Val Yavor. Im Yesh Bidei Eishas Rofei Bidei, Pesach Mesuch Ledel, B'chol Eis Sheyirtza, Azafilu Im Lo Nimsa Ke'et, Ve'amakam Gamkein, Shelo Yichshov Yichud. As long as somebody could potentially come in, this has all been changed, by the way, with Me Too, because now doctors cannot lock the door. They're not allowed to. That's okay. Looks like we have a kashrus. What's Yotze v'nechnas and kashrus? There's no mashgiach there. What's Yotze v'nechnas? Fear factor. If there's no fear factor, I once went to a place in Beit Shemesh, and I saw the people behind the counter were not religious at all. And I was nervous. So I said to him, Shema, I knew the mashgiach was there. Shema, where's the mashgiach? Ah, Mashkiach, lo, zeo, wazav, he's not coming back till tomorrow morning. I turned around my family and said, we're leaving. I'm not going to this place. He knows the Mashkiach won't be here. What does he care? Why wouldn't he try to do something funny? Okay, it's a chumra, I know. But the same thing over here. I need to have a fear factor. Then he writes, Berofe, gam mitzad heter, klali nosaf, shubaze legabei, dida yishanu chazaka, de lo marimunaso, he's going to lose his job. So that's a big heter. Why? Because they know that if I lock the door, the way it used to be, you used to lock the door to have a private exam, nobody's allowed in, the nurse knows she's not allowed in. The doctor knows that if he's going to lose his license, if he tries something with her, and she tells on him, he's done. Rav Zilberstein has a shiloh in that book about this old woman in Israel, the kupah cholim, it's free. So she came like every other day to see the doctor with all these fake things. She just was lonely. So she goes to the every day, she's a doctor, but every day she would not only see the doctor, she would make fun of the doctor. She says, ugh, here's a horrible doctor. So one day he couldn't take it anymore. And she's like, ugh, look how late you came. I've been waiting here. You're a horrible nobody, whatever. And he couldn't take it. He slapped her in the face. Crazy. He comes running after her and she's so embarrassed. And so what does she do? She gets him fired. She tries to get him fired. She does the whole thing, whatever. So she calls Rav Zilberstein and she says, am I really allowed to do this? He's going to lose his job now. So the doctor begs her. She says, fine, I'll drop the charges if you give me 10,000 shekel. So what did Rav Zilberstein say? Of course, it's reasonable. He doesn't want to lose. The same thing with Yichud. He doesn't want to use his job. So he paid it. So now Rav Shoshana, she called Rav Zilberstein and she says, did I do the wrong thing? And he says, yeah, of course you did the wrong. Come on. You have to have rachmanis on this guy. He made a mistake, so on and so forth, whatever it might be. Unless, of course, it's something in the sexual nature. We don't have rachmanis on people. To tell them to the authorities. You have to do that. So that appears to be a heter. What's professional? So nowadays, Baruch Hashem, as I said, most people never ever lock your door. You're not allowed to. People are going to accuse. Forget about it. There's no way to get around it. Absolutely not. Rav Moshe is also mekel. But everyone seems to say it's better not to do this and that somebody should have a key. Right? Somebody should be able to come in, even if you lock the door. Right? You know that nowadays they don't lock the door. They unlock. I don't know if in Eretz Yisrael there's never been a shalav yichud. I've been literally having an exam, private exam, and the nurse walks in. Ah, slicha, slicha. You know, like what the heck? They open the door all the time. But in America, they're a little bit more, you know, whatever it might be. Rav Sternbach is very machmir. He says, yeah, this is why you should always bring a friend when you go to the doctor. Okay, you know, very good. You know, a friend being a friend. You know, it's interesting when we spoke about Liba Gospel. So some people want to say, first of all, as I said, it may apply to Pesach Pesuk Jezurabim. And some want to say that, no, Liba situation where there is no Liba Gospel, we're talking about a relative, someone very close relatives of them. I think maybe because we never pictured that boys and girls would have a relationship like that before. I'm not sure. The last two tshuvas is pretty amazing. Rav Asher Weiss writes, where something simply cannot happen. What does he mean? So he talks about this crazy case of a plane. You have a plane, and you have the guy flying the plane. And basically, what happens is the story was like this: this woman lives in Israel. Her father dies, and she's trying to get back to Eretz Yisrael. She pays for a private jet to take her from São Paulo to Rio in Brazil, so she can take a flight to go to Israel. And there's a small. She gets on the flight, and she sees it's just her and the. And the pilot. So she says, wait, I have to phone a friend. She calls Rav Asher Weiss and she says, what's the story over here? So why do you think it's not Yichud? What is he going to do? He's going to be flying the plane? Kind of like what you said. He's going to fly the plane. What is he going to do? He's going to die. Ah, So there's always some guy in the crowd who says, Rebbe, what about autopilot? So yeah, very nice. First of all, autopilot, la halacha, those that know autopilot always has to be manned by a pilot. You can't go on, autopilot just allows them to allow somebody else to get up and leave. There always has to be somebody there. So there's no such thing as autopilot. On small planes, there's no such thing as autopilot. Anyway, so Rav Moshe says, I'm sorry, Rav Asher Weiss says that nothing's going to happen here. It can't practically happen, and therefore we would say that there would be heter. What if practically you can't get caught? What if it is Baal HaBeir? The husband's mamish in the room next to you. But, Nabuch, this case, the husband has a brain tumor. And he has a Filipino working. So Rav Asher Weiss has a very, very strange tshuva in source number 12. He says, first of all, you should never have an avodah zar. You should never have, whatever your thing is over here. I'm using another source here. Source number 5. He says you should never have a non-Jewish person working there. Why? This is a really emes, unfortunately. If he, God forbid, did anything to you, he raped you, do you know what's going to happen to him? He's not going to jail. They're going to ship him back to the Philippines. That's the way it works in Israel. So he has no fear. So he says, you should never have this guy in the house. And he says, it is yichud. If the husband can't get up for whatever reason, that's called yichud l'halacha. So, again, those are the different types of attainment. Let's pause for a second. And anybody who has any questions, we'll take the questions now.